Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good Friday afternoon to everyone, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Cantara with you on kind of a May gray day. We haven't had too many of those so far in the month of May as we work our way towards the 1st of June on Monday. Very happy you joined us. We got an outstanding program ahead for you today. A lot of good news coming out of the San Diego City Council this morning. They unanimously voted to move forward with the purchase and sales agreement for the Mission Valley site to San Diego State. That's good. It was a 9-0 vote. But they're still going to have to get by a couple of other votes coming up in June, and then hopefully they can close the deal in July, and they can have a shovel in the ground in August. So things are looking up. We're looking up for a brand-new stadium. I got to be honest with you. I got up this morning. I was really excited because I felt that the vote was going to go through if they put it to the city council today. It was 9-0. Fantastic. Move on to the next stage, and everything right now trending in the right direction. I don't think that we're going to have an 11th hour stoppage this time from someone in the city office. I know Mara Elliott, the city attorney, been taking a lot of heat about this situation. People have said she's cost the city thousands and thousands of dollars by holding this up the last several months, but the city council finally got it today in their special meeting, and they voted 9-0 to move forward. So there'll be a couple of more votes coming up in June, but then hopefully they're going to be able to close escrow in July, get that shovel in the ground in August, and find out whether or not they can make that timeline for early September of 2022 where the Aztecs could host the University of Arizona. So that's great news today, and love to hear from some of you fans on that. Whether you're an Aztec fan or just a sports fan, this is a great day. We're moving forward here in San Diego sports-wise. Kind of wonder, what is Dean Spanos thinking right now? I wonder what Dean Spanos is thinking up there in Orange County, up there in Costa Mesa, in the Carson area. I wonder what he's thinking when he finds out about what the city council did this morning here in San Diego. Love to get your thoughts on that. We got a great program for you today. If you tuned in earlier this morning on our Facebook page, boy, the Padres in our virtual game of the week, they took one on the chin today. A tough one for the Padres. They drop a 2-1 decision today to the San Francisco Giants. Evan Longoria took Craig Stammen deep in the bottom half of the ninth inning for a walk-off homer, and the Giants win the ball game today 2-1. I appreciate everyone that tuned in. We had a good time going back and forth on our little box over there talking about the ball game and who was doing what. Eric Hosmer did homer for the Padres today. I mentioned we got three great guests today, and my first guest coming up at 12:35, very nice lady. She's the president of the Madres, of course, a great organization that has really supported the Padres for many, many years. Candy Nieto is going to join us at 12:35, let you know kind of what the Madres are all about. I mean, at some point in time, we're certainly hoping the Padres are going to get back on the field with all the other major league ball clubs, and we'll get into the MLB negotiations a little bit in our next segment and kind of keep you updated on what's going on. But Candy Nieto is going to join us. And one of the things I can tell you about the Madres, because I've spoke to this group many times over the last 20 or so years when they've invited me to come out and be a guest speaker at their brunches that they have once a month during the baseball season, is they do a lot of charity work for a variety of different causes here in San Diego. But one of the causes is youth baseball, and they donate a tremendous amount of money to both youth baseball and to youth softball. But if you're interested in maybe being involved with the Madres, or maybe you've never heard of the Madres, I think you'll enjoy our interview coming up at 12:35 today with Candy Nieto. Also, coming up at 1:35, and I know he's a very busy man, and I appreciate him joining us on short notice today, Kyle Glazer, who's been a very, very good contributor to my program from Baseball America, he's going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about the MLB negotiations. We'll probably talk a little bit about the draft. But the one thing that I am really concerned about, I am very concerned about the minor leagues right now. We know that baseball right now wants to contract somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 43 minor league teams nationwide. And yesterday, and we had it, Jeff Passan, Ken Rosenthal, a lot of the different writers around the country wrote about it. A lot of organizations, including our San Diego Padres, have released a tremendous amount of their minor leaguers. Now, I will tell you this. There are going to be guys that get released in spring training. This time of year, guys are going to get released because you have a draft. But one thing you got to remember this year about the draft, there's only five rounds. There's only five rounds. Normally, there's 40 rounds. And then after the five rounds that finish up on the 11th, the draft goes on June 10th and 11th. The first two rounds are on June 10th. The next three rounds are on June 11th. And then you've got to sit and wait until the 14th, and organizations can start calling ball players and sign them as a free agent for $20,000 or less. And again, we're not going to have a minor league season. I understand that. Some organizations, like our Padres right now, are going to pay their players through August. Some are going to pay through June. I talked to a gentleman last night who's with the Giants. He told me that he was informed that he'll be paid through the end of June, and then he doesn't know after that. But, again, every organization has been a little bit different. Some organizations, like the Oakland A's, today's the last day there's going to be a payday for those minor leaguers. They're not going to pay any longer. But a lot of organizations are letting players go. We saw several organizations dump players yesterday, and we've heard through the grapevine that over the next 2 to 3 weeks, there could be 1,000 minor leaguers left on the street corner to become free agents. And I just don't like minor league baseball going away all over the country. Major League Baseball has got a ton of money. Organizations, I think when you get down to it, really doesn't cost as much as some people may think to have these minor league teams, because remember, they're paying the salaries. They're not paying for the hotel rooms. They're not paying for the travel. They're not paying for a stadium upkeep. They're paying for uniforms. Sometimes they're paying for a trainer, a manager, a pitching coach, a hitting coach, and then the 25 guys on a minor league ball club, especially at the lower minor leagues. Those guys are making like $1,600 a month. And there are a lot of small towns around the country. That's their only exposure to professional baseball. And I, for one, don't want to see minor league teams go away. I'd like to get your opinion on that today. So we got Kyle Glazer coming up at 1:35. And then at 2:35, because the meeting is over, Barbara Bree, who we had on a week ago, and that really got the pot stirring from the San Diego City Council, represents District 1. Barbara going to join us today at 2:35. So we got a lot to get to today on the program. But I want to get to my question of the day. And I posed this yesterday, and I was real good about it. I threw it out there, and I think it's a fun topic. If you've had the opportunity to meet professional athletes like I have for so many years, some of you may have been in professional sports. Some of you may have been just a fan, met a ball player or a coach or a manager at a restaurant. Maybe you had a good time with them. Maybe you didn't have such a good time. And my question today, and we had a few people weigh in yesterday, who's the biggest jerk you've ever met that was a pro athlete? And you know what? I got one guy in particular that I'm going to share with you here in a minute. But I also put together a little bit of a list of some of the people that, you know, might fall in that line, but maybe not for me, but for other people in San Diego. And I'll start with Kevin Gilbride, the head coach of the San Diego Chargers once upon a time. Kevin Gilbride was really cool during training camp the first year he was here. And then all of a sudden, the first week of the regular season, he became a dictator. All of a sudden, everything was different. He'd been great during training camp. Then all of a sudden, the first week, when the real bullets were going to fly during the regular season, he became a completely different guy. A completely different guy. Now, with me, I always had a good relationship with him. Other media members did not have a good relationship with him because he really was hard to work with. He was very hard to work with. And I think that was one of the reasons after he got let go here in San Diego, he had great success as an offensive coordinator in the National Football League, but he did not ever get another opportunity to be a head coach in the National Football League. And I think a lot of it had to do with the negativity he brought when he was here in San Diego and the way he was adversarial with the media. In fact, I'll tell you how bad it got was in the Super Bowl the year that I think it was 98, if I'm not mistaken. The Super Bowl was here in 98. And the Chargers, how about this? The Chargers actually asked me to speak to Kevin Gilbride about lightening up a little bit. And we were at a party, a Super Bowl party. Tony Danza, I remember, was performing. And the Spanos has invited me and Kelly to the party, along with a lot of the other media members. But I had been talked to by the Chargers organization prior to the party, saying, hey, when you get an opportunity, will you pull Kevin aside and talk to him and tell him to lighten up a little bit? Well, I had that conversation. I don't know if it helped or not. He didn't make it through the next season. But Kevin Gilbride and I always had a pretty good relationship. But a lot of people didn't like him, and I can understand why. But, you know, the way he treated me was great. Ryan Leaf, who had been on the program, we know Ryan's in trouble again. When Ryan was with the Chargers, I had no problem with him because I knew going in I couldn't trust him. I knew he was a liar at that point in time, and, you know, I couldn't trust him. But I never had a run-in like some of the other people did with Ryan Leaf. One of the guys that people really were down on in San Diego was Leslie O'Neal. And I took care of that in 1994 at a get-together at the Town and Country after the banquet was over where he had received the MVP from the prior year. I walked up to him and said, Leslie O'Neal, my name's John Quintero. I'm going to be covering the Chargers this year, and people tell me you're hard to deal with. And he looked at me like I was a knucklehead. And he goes, no, I don't think I'm hard to deal with as long as people don't ask me questions that they already know the answers to. And I go, you know what, that's fair enough. We got along great. Leslie O'Neal I had no problem with. Stan Humphries was a little difficult. Stan Humphries, I will tell you, and I know, you know, he got him to the Super Bowl, and everybody loves Stan now. But Stan wasn't the coolest guy in the world when he was playing for the Chargers. The biggest problem I had with Stan Humphries, and I never had like a one-on-one problem with him, but the problem I had with him was he didn't like to sign autographs for kids. And maybe that's me, but I would watch Junior Seau over there sign autograph after autograph after autograph after the morning practice, after the afternoon practice, and I would see a guy like Stan Humphries, who the fans really liked. Now, I can tell you, there were a lot of teammates on that team in the Super Bowl year and going forward that were not big Stan Humphries fans. He was not really all that well-liked by a variety of his teammates, namely some of the guys on the offensive line. But that always bugged me about how he wouldn't sign autographs for little kids after they're standing at that picket fence out there at UCSD. That bugged me a little bit. Now, I'm going to get down to three people here that I really one-on-one had problems with. And I'm going to give you my number one person all time. One of them is Gabby Reese. Now, a lot of you may not even know who Gabby Reese is. Gabrielle Reese, she was a volleyball player. She's been a model. You know, she's had a lot of success because of her great looks, a smart gal, no question about it. Once upon a time, I was doing an event up at Nike Town in Costa Mesa. They used to hire me. A lady by the name of Rochelle Gillerman used to hire me. And I did events with Jerome Bettis, Carl Lewis, Jim Edmonds, Sean Burroughs when he was playing in Little League. They had his Little League team out there, and I could go on and on. But anyways, I get invited up to be the MC for this event, and Gabby Reese is going to be the person I'm going to interview. And Gabrielle Reese, they had a shoe made for her, and she didn't like the shoe. And she didn't want to wear the shoe. She didn't want to wear the clothes that Nike were providing for her. And I can't tell you what a snot she was that day. And I was so unimpressed. And I came back and I told my wife, I go, boy, I'm really disappointed in Gabrielle Reese, the way her attitude was. So she was on my list. George Hendrick. Remember George Hendrick, who played in the big leagues? Had a great career. He managed for the Padres down in the minor leagues in 2002 at Lake Elsinore. And I went up there, And normally when I go up to Elsinore, I go in and introduce myself to the manager, and they know who I am because they've been around the Padres a little bit. And I went in and talked to George Hendrick, biggest jerk you could ever imagine, biggest jerk you could ever imagine. And I'm not going to get into everything, but I walked out of there, and John Maffey, who's going to join us on the program on Monday, he was with me. And I looked at John Maffey, and I go, man, I can't use the language I used to John in the hallway up there at the Lake Elsinore clubhouse. But when we came back, I went and told Kevin Towers, I go, man, your manager up there, George Hendrick, he's a real piece. He goes, don't worry about George Hendrick. He won't be back next year. And he only lasted 1 year in the Padre organization. Not the nicest guy in the world. And, of course, he had a big reputation. But I'm going to tell you, the biggest jerk I have ever dealt with in San Diego, and thank God he was only here for a short period of time, his name was Danny Jackson. He was a left-handed pitcher who really had a pretty good career. He'd been a two-time World Series winner, a two-time All-Star, but he was at the end of his career. Now, I'm going to give you a little background on how he got to San Diego. Back on June 13th of 1997, Danny Jackson, along with our buddy Mark Sweeney and right-hand pitcher Rich Batchelor, were traded by the St. Louis Cardinals to the Padres for third baseman Scott Livingstone, outfielder our buddy Phil Plantier, and the great Fernando Valenzuela. Danny Jackson appeared in a total of 13 games from the Padres. He made 9 starts. He had a 1-7 record and a 7.53 ERA. In 49 innings pitched, he got racked for 72 hits, 8 homers he gave up. And Danny Jackson pitched his last game. Now, remember, the trade was consummated on June 13th, 1997, and he was released less than 2 months later by the Padres after his performance on August 7th, 1997, where he went 4 innings, gave up 6 hits, and 4 earned runs. Now, I'm going to tell you, he had a locker right next to Tony Gwynn, and I spent a lot of time with Tony in that locker. And when that locker wasn't being used, I used to sit in a folding chair and talk with Tony before and after ball games. And Danny Jackson, I went up to him one day, and I wanted to interview him because the guy had a really good career. And I went up, introduced myself like I always do, and welcome guys to San Diego. He couldn't have been a bigger jerk. He wanted nothing to do with me or anybody else. And I was so amazed. Here's a guy that's trying to hang on at the end of his career. He was 35 years of age. And couldn't have been a bigger turd, to be honest with you. And so, anyways, he walks out. He goes and does something. And I'm fuming. Not because I didn't get the interview, but the way this guy acted. I mean, he acted like he owned the place and had been there for about 3 days. And Tony goes to me. He goes, what's the matter, coach? I go, man, Danny Jackson, and the word I use begins with a D and ends with a K. Okay? He goes, don't worry about him. He's not going to be here all that long. And you know what? Tony Gwynn was right. He didn't even last 2 months with the San Diego Padres, and he never pitched. He never pitched again in the big league. So Danny Jackson, the old left-handed pitcher, is the biggest jerk I've ever dealt with in my time here in San Diego. I bring in my colleague, Braden Soprenner, who's monitoring everything back at our Intercom Empire today. Braden, good Friday to you, and boy, we got a packed show today, my friend.
We do have a packed show today, Coach, and yeah, monitoring everything. I almost want to log off just social media for the day already. There's just way too much going on in 2020, not only in the sports world, but just in general. A lot of things happening today in the world, and we'll stick to the sports today, especially with the city council approving to move forward with the purchase and sale agreement on San Diego State West. I think that's good news. I guess it's still got to pass a couple more votes, but we'll have Barbara Bree on later on today, and hopefully she can clarify a couple things for us. But I'm ecstatic, and you know, a lot of people, you know, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter upset about how the stadium's not big enough, and I am one of those people that thinks it needs to be bigger. But this is a start. I mean, who knows? They might be able to dial something up down the road, or at least make the plans expandable at some point. But to me, you got to get something going when it comes to the Mission Valley site, because I'm tired of looking at SDCCU Stadium. I've only lived on this earth in San Diego for 25 years. I know a lot of other people that have been here longer that are probably sick and tired of looking at that stadium as well. It's time to improve and create some nice facilities here in San Diego to go along with Petco Park and the beauty of our city.
And for people that didn't hear, it happened here in the last hour or so. That police officer that had the knee on George Floyd that eventually led to Mr. Floyd's death, that officer has been arrested today. And I would imagine the other three are not going to be too far behind. But the officer that had the knee on George Floyd earlier in the week, he has been arrested. I want to get to phone calls. Who's the biggest jerk you've met? There was a pro athlete. Love to get your take on that today. Kind of a fun segment on a Friday. Our phone number at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we return, we'll give you an update on the MLB negotiations. Coach John Quintero warming up on a Friday. Thanks for joining us right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. The John Quintero Show brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Fed up with companies selling your data? DuckDuckGo is on it. They help millions of people like you take back their privacy online. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo Privacy Simplified. Again, coming up at 12:35, we're going to talk with the president of the Madres, a big organization and done a lot of great work over the years with the Padres and out in our community. Candy Nieto, the president of the Madres, is going to join me again at 12:35. But I want to get out to your phone calls. Who's the biggest jerk you've met in the pro athlete that you've met? So we'll look forward to hearing that. Again, our phone number at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We got a good group of phone callers out there we're going to get to. Also, if you just tuned in, the city council unanimously voted to move forward with the sale to San Diego State. There's still a couple of more votes that have to come down the pike, and that apparently is going to happen in June. They're hoping to finalize the deal in July, and then the San Diego State can get a shovel hopefully in the ground sometime in August. So we'll look very much forward to that. Braden, we ready to roll? Okay, well, we've got some technical difficulties, I think, with our phone line, but we're going to get that squared away. So if you just tuned in, My biggest jerk I've ever dealt with is a pitcher by the name of Danny Jackson, who pitched very seldom for the San Diego Padres. His last year was in 1997, 13 games, 9 starts, a 1-7 mark, and a 7.53 ERA. Just not a real nice guy. Not a real nice guy. He's about 58 years of age. I was looking him up last night and seeing what he's doing. Really don't know what he's doing, but they had a nice picture. He was smiling, something I never saw in that Padre clubhouse. But he didn't last very long. And like I said, when Tony Gwynn asked me what I thought of him, and I told Tony, and Tony goes, don't worry, he's not going to be here very long. He was less than 2 months with the San Diego Padres. Again, coming up in hour number two today, Kyle Glazer, Baseball America. And hour number three at 2:35, we're going to be talking with Barbara Bree, who will join us from the San Diego City Council. And, of course, Barbara really into getting this land approved and get on with the stadium. And, again, for a lot of you may not know, Barbara Bree is running for mayor in November, I guess, against Todd Gloria. So be interesting. I think she's made a lot of fans out there with the way she's gone out and been very aggressive trying to get this vote approved. And, again, unanimously this morning in a special meeting. All right, let's go back to Braden. We're going to get an update right now on MLB negotiations, and then we'll get to phone calls. And, Braden, really, there's not a lot really to report right now. The players are really irritated. The owners, the proposal they gave them, nowhere near in the ballpark right now. We're just kind of waiting for the players once again to respond to the owners. Well, Braden, working with those technical difficulties back there, and we'll get back to him in a minute. Anybody watch the NASCAR event last night? Anybody watch that? Chase Elliott wins that last night. Jimmy Johnson, who started 40th, what did he finish, 11th last night? That wasn't too bad. That wasn't too bad. I watched a little bit of it. I didn't watch a lot of it. But overall, NASCAR, I think, faring pretty well right now on television. I think they're doing a good job. So we'll see. They got another event now, I think, that was pushed. I think they're going to run on Sunday now, or maybe they moved it to Monday after they got rained out the other night. I want to get to your phone calls today. A lot to get done. A lot of different directions. We'll give you an update a little bit later on in the program with the NBA and with the National Football League. We got a lot of good information on the National Football League today regarding some of the rules and the bylaws for 2020. And we're also coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, 9 bold predictions for the 2020 NFL season. So we got a lot to get to today on the program. Also in the 2 o'clock hour, about 2:15, I think it'll be a real fun segment. The 10 biggest MLB draft busts of the past decade. And I can think of one in particular, a kid that came out of Stanford, but we'll share that with you coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Again, coming up at 12:35, we're going to be joined by Candy Nieto, the Madre's president, and look forward to visiting with her. And we're going to get to a lot of phone calls. So if you're on hold, stay there. We're going to be patient, and we'll get all of you today on the program. I listened to Ben and Woods this morning. They had a fantastic day. I'll tell you what, that interview, and I don't know if you got a chance to hear that interview with Bob Costas yesterday on Ben and Woods, but that was a really cool interview. You might go back and listen to that just by going to our website at 97.3 The Fan SD, 97.3 The Fan SD. And by the way, while I'm giving that out, I want to encourage you to download the radio.com app. Download the radio.com app, and you can get all of our talk shows no matter where you are. And I think you'll really enjoy that. Our Twitter, at 97.3 The Fan SD. My personal Twitter, at Coach Contreras 44. And our Facebook and Instagram, at 97.3 The Fan. Also, I want to give you a little heads up. How would you like to win a $500 Sprouts Farmers Market gift card? Well, you can do that very easily here at 97.3 The Fan. Go to our website and radio.com app contest. And it started on May 18th. It runs only until Monday. It ends on Monday, June 1st. Download the radio.com app. Follow 97.3 The Fan and hit play for your chance to win a $500 Sprouts Farmers Market gift card. Action items, hey, go to 97.3thefansd.com for more details and an opportunity to win a $500 Sprouts Market gift card. And Braden, before we get to the break, let's get to the MLB negotiations. As I was saying a minute ago, really not a whole lot to report right now. The players are on edge. The owners, they're not really sweetening the pot right now and kind of at a standstill, kind of waiting for the players to come back to the owners now.
Right, and sorry about that. I was talking to a caller called in. He didn't want to be on the air, but he had two stories about people he hated, and he was trying to convince me about how Tony Gwynn was not that great of a guy, and I was like, dude, I can't even buy your story right now. But it's an interesting story, Coach, that I'm not even going to say on the air, but I'm going to talk to you about it, and we'll see how it goes. But Ernesto and Chris, please stay on the hold on the line. We're going to get to your stories as well. In terms of baseball, I was listening to MLB Network Radio coming into to work today, and they came up with their plan that would like compromise everything, and it was basically what they said was 62 games, cut the games down, end the season by September, and have 24 teams make the playoffs. That way the owners can make all their money back in the playoffs. You get it in before the quote-unquote second wave, and you actually, since all the teams are making the playoffs, you get prorated money through the playoffs, it would actually make more money for the players than if they took a their original deal of, prorated salaries.
Well, you know, whatever it's going to take, you know as well as I do, and everybody else that has a brain knows that the owners want to play as few as they can during the regular season. They want to get to the postseason, and if it ends up being that way and everybody's happy, fine, we'll play 52 games and move on, get to the playoffs, throw 24 in there. Remember, this is only a one-time deal. I mean, and again, like I've used right from the get-go, you got to be flexible. You have to be flexible. If it's only 52 games, it's only 52 games. Get to the playoffs. Everybody, for the most part, there'll be six teams on the outside looking in. We'll get to the playoffs, and who knows, maybe the Padres get hot, win the world title. They want to put an asterisk next to it, fine. We're still the world champion going into next year.
I agree with that, but Coach, if they don't make the playoffs and there's 24 teams that make it this year, I don't say that's what they're going to do, but if they do that, there's going to be some serious heads rolling if that's the case.
Braden, I think that's a good call. I don't disagree with that at all. Hey, you know, I know we got Candy Nieto coming up, but let's try to duck in a couple of quick calls, and then we'll get to Candy here after the break. Let's get out to Ernesto in National City. Ernesto, you're batting leadoff today with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How are you?
I am too blessed to be stressed, Coach.
Great to have you today.
Awesome. Great show. the guy that I met, but before that, I met Tony. I worked for Frito-Lay. He did a couple of events for us out in Laughlin. We went out for a special trip. And back here in San Diego, I saw him out at a store, and he remembered my name. And he was the nicest guy. So I don't know what that other guy, Braden, was talking about. That Tony's, like, maybe that's why he was such a good hitter. His memory was so good. But back to why I called. My son was about 4 years old. We were in Mission Valley Mall. We just got this young, hot, number one pick in Ryan Leaf. Heard of him? And, yeah, so we're walking, and kids are asking him for his autograph. I walked up with my son, where all the parents asking him, hey, Ryan. He just says, no, come on, guys. I don't got time for that right now, okay? I'm busy. And he just storms off. He was with a buddy, and he storms off, and I'm like, are you serious, me? Are you serious? Like, are you going to do this? You are supposed to be our savior. So I guess he got his in the end, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, Ryan, it looked like, no pun intended, to turn over a new leaf, and I haven't heard a whole lot. That whatever happened last weekend in Palm Springs, I know he got arrested, I know he got released on a domestic violence charge, but I'll tell you what, there's not been anything out there. I've been trying to scurry through the internet, really nothing out there right now. We'll see where that goes. I know he's supposed to be in court, I believe, sometime, I think in September, but we'll have to wait and see, but haven't heard. But you know what, for me, Ryan was okay, but I knew who I was dealing with. I didn't have to, deal with them if I didn't want to deal with them, except in certain situations. But I totally get that. And at that point in time, I'm sure he's on a lot of people's list for being the biggest jerk to ever compete here in San Diego. Ernesto, you have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you. You too, guys. Keep up the good work.
All righty. Let's duck in Chris real quick. Chris, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Great to have you today.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the call today.
All right. Well, I have a actually, this little story has two parts to it. So it's the same person. And first of all, before I disclose this information, I really believe people can change. And this person probably has changed. But my experience with this person, I was about 11 years old, Angel Stadium. We always used to wait in the parking lot after the game. The players would park in a little fenced-in area out by left field gate, and we waited. We would just wait there one by one, and the last car left in the parking lot was a Porsche that said, license plate RC29, Rod Carew. And he was a jerk, man. Like, I asked for his autograph, and I stood there by the fence with my pencil and my baseball. And this is what he told the parking lot attendant. He says, you told me this, there's going to be no people by the time I walked out. Get these people out of here. And I couldn't believe it, man. I was heartbroken, man, because I love Rod Carew. And I know he's sick now and everything with kidney failure. And I'm probably sure he's a really good guy now. But I'm 11 years old. Let me fast forward to 1991. I'm working at Anaheim Hills at an Alpha Beta grocery store, and he's pumping gas at the gas station with that same license plate, RC29, and I saw him. He was being rude to the attendant. He was yelling at the cashier, and I was like, wow. And this guy was just as mean to me way back in 1981 also.
Wow, that's amazing, Chris. I met Rod Carew, and I thank you for the phone call. We got to get to a break, but I appreciate you sharing that. I met Rod Carew probably 4 to 5 years ago. It was before he had the kidney transplant. He came down. I was the MC for the Tony Gwynn Baseball Classic, and we held it at Petco Park, and I introduced Rod and his wife, and you know, he was nice at that point in time. But you know, some guys, you catch them on the wrong day, you don't know what's going on in their life, especially when they're in civilian clothes. You just never know what's going on. But that's unfortunate, because I think Rod Carew, a lot of fans love Rod Carew, and I hope not a lot of people had the same experience with him that you did, but it sounds like he could be a little angry from time to time. We need a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Candy Nieto, the president of the Madres. Stay with us, Coach John Quintero. We're heading to 3 o'clock on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, Padre fans, want to remind you it's time to party like it's 1998. Beginning Monday, June 1st, Gwen and Chris will interview a member of the 1998 World Series Padres each afternoon at 5 p.m. Tune in to Gwen and Chris as they party like it's 1998. We'll continue with the conversation until 3 o'clock today. And very nice to have this young lady on the program today. She's the president of the Madres. Candy Nieto joins me on our SDCCU fan hotline. Candy, welcome, and hope everything's well with you and your family.
It is. Thank you. And we as the Madres sure appreciate you letting us come on and talking about our wonderful organization.
Well, hey, Candy, let's start off for people that maybe just be hearing about the Madres for the very, very first time. Maybe they aren't Padre fans, or maybe they're new Padre fans. Give us a little history lesson on the Madres.
Absolutely. We are actually a nonprofit organization. We were started in 1972, actually by some wives of the Padres back then. And so we're a group made up of women and men. We have a lot of men in our group who love baseball, not only Padres, although that is our favorite, who just love the game baseball. And actually, in about 2 years, we're going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary. And our goal...
That's absolutely...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead and finish.
I was just going to say, in our goals with the San Diego Madres, our mission statement is to provide the children of San Diego County the opportunity to play baseball, softball, by financially supporting their leagues. And we've done this for the last 47 years by raising an average of $25,000 to $30,000 a year. All of the monies go and are distributed to the San Diego County Youth Baseball, Softball, and Challenge Leagues. And last year we supported 41 leagues in the county.
That's amazing. It's great work. And I think for the fans out there, they need to know about what you guys do at the end of the year. And a lot of you are out there, you know, late in the baseball season with your aprons on, selling tickets for the shirts off the back. That's been a great fundraiser. And a lot of great fans have gone home with some really nice Padre jerseys over the years.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing, is our strong connection with the San Diego Padre organization, who have supported us in the past and in the future. And I really want to thank Tom Seidler, who is our connection with the Padres, who really helps us a lot in our fundraising efforts throughout the year by giving us suite to raffle off. And again, we volunteer with the shirts off their back and other kinds of events that they hold, that we're there to help them in any way, shape, or form that they need us.
We're visiting with Candy Nieto. She's the president of the Madres, a great organization. I can say that firsthand. I've been invited out to several of their meetings over the years. You know, with the pandemic and everything shutting down baseball, how's that affecting what you guys are trying to get done in the community baseball-wise this year?
Yeah, it's been really rough. We actually, during the baseball season, hold a monthly brunch, and we are fortunate enough to get somebody from the Padre organization and players to come to that brunch. And so because of the shutdown, we've been unable to have those lunches. We also have some huge fundraising ideas that we were going to do this year. We were actually going to raffle off some All-Star tickets up in L.A., and again, our suite raffle. And so a lot of that has ceased and desist. And so we're really concerned about how we're going to continue to support youth baseball in San Diego. We do have some very creative ladies out there, and we've been coming up with some ideas. So we need you to look at our social media website. But it's been tough. We had a GoFundMe page on Facebook. We're hoping that as things begin to open up, that a few of the fundraising ideas that we had towards the end of this year, we're going to be able to do again. But it's been rough.
Hey, Candy, throw that website out there for the fans out there. They can go to that.
Sure. It's SanDiegoMadres.org. And that's also our Facebook. We can go to our Facebook also.
Okay, that's good stuff. Hey, what else can the community do right now? How can they help the Madres out? If there's somebody out there that had never heard of the Madres until about 4 or 5 minutes ago and they want to get involved, how can they help your organization?
Well, again, go to, we do have, you can donate. We do have a donate button on our website. You can do that. You can join the Madres. We're always looking for members. It's been tough, and I know it's tough right now to think about joining an organization that's not doing a lot of its regular fundraising efforts. But we need new members. We need people who are interested in baseball and children in this county who play sports, who play baseball. And so that is another way that they can to help us is come join us, come see what we're about, and offer ideas on how we can also think of new ways thinking outside of the box on how to have fundraisers to continue to support the youth in San Diego County.
So if somebody's out there interested and they want to get involved with the Madres, they can just go to the website or the Facebook page and get in touch with you?
Absolutely. We have an application on the website. We're still trying to do it virtual where we're doing it with paying online. But there is an application that you can fill out and join us. And again, some of the other things besides us raising funds, we also do volunteer work too. We volunteered at the Randy Jones Golf Invitational. Like you said, we do the shirts off the back. You'll see us running up and down all over the ballpark with that. We help with the KUSI songs of the seasons and their annual fan fest. So not only do we raise funds, we also are volunteers. So if there's an organization out there that needs some help in that area, they can also check us out on the website and get us to help in those areas also.
Well, Candy, I think you know I'm a big fan of the Madres. I thank you so much for coming on, and I look forward to hopefully at some point where we can all get back together coming out to one of your brunches again. You guys have always treated me tremendously, and I don't think I've ever said no to the Madres. You guys do so much good work in this community. Thanks so much for being here today.
And we thank you for when we call and ask you to come, you're always gracious to come and visit us. So anytime the invitation is open. So, again, I want to thank you for this opportunity to giving a shout-out to our great organization. And come join us. Come join us out there. Come look us up and see what we're about. Visit our website. Thank you, Coach.
Sounds great. Candy, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
All right, that's Candy Nieto, the president of the San Diego Madres. And, again, you can go to their website, sandiegomadres.org. And if you want to donate, want to get involved, I can tell you it's a tremendous organization. It really is. And I want to remind everyone, all our guests on the John Quintero Show, come be the SDCCU fan hotline. You can vote SDCCU for the best credit union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big banking, it is better. And again, our topic today, who's the biggest jerk you've met that was a pro athlete? We've had a couple of calls already. We got Ryan Leaf, which I can't argue with. Ryan was a jerk when he was here in San Diego, no question about it. And Rod Carew, which kind of surprised me a little bit. Braden, I think we'll move Coach's Corner to the beginning of the 1 o'clock hour. But, you know, the one thing we haven't done today, I haven't heard who you think is the biggest jerk you've ever come into contact with as a pro athlete.
Well, my interactions with pro athletes have actually been pretty good in my short period of time on this planet. Obviously, I've had good interactions with Tony Gwynn. I don't know what that one caller was saying, and I can see why he wanted to be anonymous for that.
Yeah, but that one caller.
I've been thinking like the whole
the
time. I mean, I have a couple current ones, but I don't want to start anything, so I'm not going to really say so. But you know, most of my interactions with athletes growing up as a kid have been very, very good. I mean, I had the interaction with. You know what? No, there is one. And you know, the way he is at the gym is just I don't know how to say this. Drew Brees isn't the greatest dude. That's just what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
I mean, it's just the way I've interacted with him before in person. It just hasn't been like. It was a little surprising to me the way he is in the community and the way he is on TV. And, I mean, he does so many great things here in San Diego and all over the place. But my interactions with him have not been you know, as, you know, stellar as some of the interactions I know a lot of fans probably interact with him with. And I've never interacted with him as in a media standpoint either. It was just, you know, a casual kind of thing. He's just, and you know what, maybe it's because, you know, he's in the zone all the time, but he, that was the one guy I was kind of, just kind of taken aback. That and, if I throw it out, Aaron Rodgers is not that great of a dude, to be honest with you.
Right. No, he leaves a lot to be desired, from what I understand. I've never met Aaron Rodgers, but you know, I've heard about some of his hijinks.
Yeah, he's got issues that you know, it's in the public, and most people, I think, in the public understand this. It's not really like a hidden secret, but I'm sure Drew Brees is a very nice guy. Just my interactions with him on multiple occasions, he's just come off as just not as great of a dude as I thought he was going to be.
Little disappointed.
I was a little disappointed. I mean, I even like I've caught passes from him before, and you know, helped done some stuff with him. But he just, I don't know. He just wasn't like the dude I thought he was going to be.
Well, you know, you're very young in this business, and you know, I had you know, four or five people. But like I told my wife before I came in to sit down and you know, dial you up today, I've been very fortunate. I mean, very few, all the hundreds of athletes and coaches I've dealt with over the last 30 years. And I only came up with a list of about four or five that kind of were turds. And they may have been having a bad day. They may have been having a bad day. You know, a guy like George Hendrick, he, you know, he had a history of being a pain with the media. And, you know, we're not asking a lot of times for their firstborn child. We just want, hey, you know, what'd you see in that fastball you hit over the right field wall last night for a game-winning three-run homer? And the guy looks at you like you're asking to take his home and family away from him, you know. But very few guys or girls I've ever really had a problem with here in San Diego. We've been very fortunate.
Right, I think we have too.
All right, we got to get out of here. We're going to get to the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to get into our Coach's Corner. Also, 9 bold predictions for the 2020 NFL season. Coach John Contreras, thanks for joining us on 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.